Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
With the great Troy Rank sitting in, always love having Troy be able to sit in when Mark is gone. As we get set for Broncos minicamp to come up later this morning, first of three straight days, and we'll have a chance to get out and watch the three practices. And then it's 6 weeks off until training camp. It's only the springtime, but it is an important time. It is a valuable time. A lot of work is done. And I think most importantly, Troy, conclusions are reached by the coaching staff based on what they've been watching for the last month or so. It's not like they just discount everything as just, well, we're just out there kind of, you know, practicing. I mean, they're forming conclusions that they're going to take with them into training camp. And then it's going to be up to those conclusions to be, you know, kept up, or it's going to be up to people to change their mind about things. So don't take what's been going on here in May and the first part of June and think that it's just, you know, a bunch of guys running around in shorts and T-shirts. And that everything starts, you know, fresh, clean slate in training camp. They're making evaluations. They've got depth charts. They're forming opinions.
Especially with young guys. Now, if you're worried about, you're wondering about Von Miller, Chris Harris, and players of that ilk, it doesn't really matter. They're getting in reps, stay in shape, get a little momentum going into the offseason. But young players, it matters. And young by young, not just rookies, but players in their first couple years. The biggest jump Gary Kubiak always felt was from a player's first year to his second season. You know, so in that case, a guy like Sue Cravens, you know, what is it going to look like for him based on being a new player? Essentially, he's a rookie to this system. I mean, those are the guys I keep an eye on. Cravens, Jake Butt, Royce Freeman, even Devontae Booker in some ways is in that category. Those are the players that this really matters for. Were they getting, you know, establishing roots to give the coaching staff a reason to trust them, to give them the coaching staff a reason to believe? You know, I always talk to pro coaches about this. It's like, I can, coaches will tell me, I can believe it if I've seen it. But when you just have blind faith that, well, I didn't see any progress at OTAs, but we get to training camp, he's going to figure it out. No, you know, that is a bit of a blind faith. Coaches want to give them something to hold on to. And that's what some of these young guys are doing at this point. Getting momentum, convincing coaches they can be trusted. But you raised a great point, Mike. Will it translate on the field? The game gets fast for young guys. And that's where, again, it goes back to the playbook and the knowledge of the system. Because when you know the system, you play fast. When mm-hmm. you know where you're supposed to go, you play fast. In the NFL and others, when you think, you stink. When you have to sit around and go, oh, right foot here, pad level here, I got to go one step. You can't play like that at this level. So I'm interested to see how some of these young guys take this six-week break and how they come back, because they have way more talent in this draft class than they did a year ago. They have a higher football IQ. There's going to be some guys in this draft class that make an impact, and they're going to push some other guys off the roster. So that's why there's a sense of optimism out there, is in this draft class is, for me, it's more talented, but it's just, there's a higher acumen in terms of football IQ.
So this is a better football team.
It is a better football
team. Than last year.
But they set the bar low.
Well, oh yeah, of course. And when I say better, are they better than 5-11?
They are better than 5-11. How much better is it? For me, I see them right now, and I might change after training camp. I reserve the right to change. But for me, they're 8-8. 8-8 with in the hunt all the way until maybe the second to last game of the season. Now, if Keenum plays better than expected, and or, you know, Chubb is going to be NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, and, you know, look at what the Saints had for three young guys. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's better. But I see a team that's better, that will be significantly better on special teams, just because they can't be worse than a year ago. But I see a team that's going to be competitive, more competitive, and compete. But I'm not going 5-11, you know, worst to first guy. Right. I'm not that yet. Convince me.
Right.
But I do see that they're going to be better.
Because 8-8 8-8 is an interesting number because 8-8 can be looked upon different ways. Most times when I hear 8-8, I'm like, ugh, anything but 8-8. I don't want to be stuck at 8-8 because it just kind of represents to me, it's always felt like, you know, what are you? You know, you're just not that good. You're just stuck in the mud. You're stuck in NFL purgatory if you're 8-8. But it sounds like what you're saying is that 8-8 can be, I guess, can be represented as, you know, a step forward.
Progress.
It's part of the arrow going up. 8-8 is on the way to going up, as opposed to 8-8 being, wow, we maxed out.
Well, it's how you, 8-8. It's how you get there. I mean, if they're 8-5 and lose the final three games, 8-8 feels wildly disappointing. But if they're around 500 all year and you get to a point where you're 8-7 going into the last game and you can play it to get in the playoffs, would that be encouraging? And Case Keenum throws 26 touchdowns and 11 picks. Would you be encouraged by that if you're a Bronco fan? The worst case scenario is, You're basically 7-7 going into the end, and you finish 7-9, and Keenum is, you know, 1-1 touchdown pick ratio, and you're like, okay, they should have drafted a quarterback. I won't second guess that because I love the Bradley Chubb draft pick, and they were only in on Sam Darnold. They weren't in love with the other guys, so you know Josh Rosen would be the one that would complicate it if they go 8-8, 7-9, and Josh Rosen is the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. Then you're gonna oof. But 8-8, if you're competitive all season, and I say that because people, I get it, Bronco fans, and you've earned this right. They roll my eyes when I say that. They weren't competitive during that 8-game losing streak. So this idea, it wasn't just 5-11. They were 2-10 over their last 12 and not competitive in 8 of those games. So when I say 8-8, for me, that's a step forward. Of 8-8, and you're hanging around all year and you're in games. They haven't won an AFC West road game since Peyton Manning retired. So this idea that, oh, they were 5-11 and they could be 11-5. Hey, easy now. Easy. To do that, they're going to have to be like the Rockies apparently and win a couple key games on the road. And they're going to have to be able to stay competitive.
To your point, the 8-game losing streak, the scores, 23-10, 21-0, 29-19, 51-23, 41-16, 20-17, 21-14, then 35-9. You're right. I mean, that's just nothing but double-digit losses there.
They were out of like 5 of those games at halftime.
Here's what I want to ask you, and we'll get to this coming up.
8-8 can represent progress.
We'll get to this coming up. The idea that if they go 8-8, if you truly feel, that Case Keenum can go out and have the kind of year that makes you think he could be the long-term answer, can you have that if you're going 8-8? We'll get to that coming up next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Eight and eight. Man. 8-8. When I first say Broncos go 8-8. I think most people's reaction is, eh, you know, because we're conditioned around here. Super Bowl or bust, right? 8-8 is just, that's the last place I want to be. But can 8-8 represent a real step forward? Can it mean that this thing is starting to trend back in the right direction? Here's the only thing I struggle with. Because there's part of me that looks at what, When they went 5-11 last year, I'm a big believer of the old Bill Parcells line. You are what your record says you are. And I think this was a 5-11 football team. I know most people want to blame it on Vance Joseph. Sorry, I don't. I think there's been a talent drain around here over the last several years. I think that they have become what they are. And a 5-11 record is a good representation of what they are or what they were last year. So 8-8 would represent a 3-game improvement. That's a lot. But then it's still only 8-8. So do you think that when it's all said and done, especially from the quarterback position, because that's what it all matters, is that if we can come out of this season feeling like Case Keenum is indeed ready to be the next Rich Gannon and go on and have a second half of his career renaissance and be a really good, good quarterback for the second half of his career after being a journeyman, then I could live with 8-8. Do you honestly believe that this team can go 8-8 and you can come away feeling like Case Keenum is indeed the guy? Or is it, if you're going 8-8, you're going right back into the offseason like, meh, we got to address the quarterback situation long term.
Again, it depends on how you get to 8-8. It wasn't how they lost. It wasn't the losses last year. It was how they lost. It wasn't they were 5-11 as they were non-competitive. If Case Keenum, if they're 8-8 and Case Keenum throws 20 touchdowns with 18 picks and gets booed two or three home games, then you feel like you're still, you know, you're doing the Tour de France on the what am I thinking of, the cycling, the
Peloton or something?
Yeah, the Peloton bike. I mean, if you're just riding that wave and going nowhere, pedaling to nowhere fast, that's the issue. The issue of 8-8, 7-9 is if Keenum reverts to who he was and to the point where, you know, the last two, three games of the season, you're saying Paxton Lynch should play because Keenum isn't the answer. That's a horrible outcome because you had quarterbacks on the board. And the worst part of that, then, let's say Josh Rosen just lights it up in Arizona. The best case scenario in terms of 8-8 would be you're 8-8. Keenum has, again, 22, 25 touchdowns, 10 to 12 picks. The offense finally is caffeinated and shows signs of life. You see encouraging signs from Courtland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton, Jake Butt, and Royce Freeman. And so you feel like you're 8-8, trending the right way with a window to get back into it with a defense that's still fairly young. I mean, there's going to continue to be turnover, but a defense that's still very competitive, good, and possibly even in the conversation of great again. But if Keenum backslides to who he was, the offense, which I can't believe it would be worse, but they averaged 18 points a game last year, 27th in the NFL. If the offense is close to that number again, then you're like, oh no. That would feel like you're on the road to nowhere.
But you know what? If he goes 25-10, 25-12, oh, this is a 10-win football team.
Should be.
It should be easy.
But think
along here with where I'm going at, because after the kind of quarterback production we've had the last few years, if all of a sudden you're running the kind of offense that's allowing the quarterback to go out and be that good at avoiding mistakes and only throwing 10 or 12 picks while throwing 25 touchdowns, I mean, that's going to only happen if you've created a pretty good running game, you're getting good offensive line play. I mean, you're going to have a pretty good offense in place for him to have those kind of numbers. Then to go along with what they still have left over from their defense, hey, we can debate until the end of the day about whether or not they're a championship defense or an elite defense or a great defense. They're still a good, good defense. I mean, this is still one of the top 10 defenses in the NFL. So knowing that and you're outlining what possibly could be the final numbers, Troy, if he's 25-12, they're a 10-win team and they're in the playoffs. The only way I see them going 8-8 is if at the end of the day, we look up and we're just like, you know, he just wasn't the same guy as he was in Minnesota.
I think if they're 8-8, he could still have a good season.
Really?
I think he can. Good, not great. And if you're the way you're talking.
Now, you're defining good as what? 25-12?
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, between 25 and interceptions would be 12 to 14-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Great would be last year, 22-7.
Right.
If he has an interception number, okay, let's play this fun game. Mainly, it's more for me around the interception total. If his interception total is below 10, mm-hmm. they go to the playoffs.
Okay. You know, so if he matches last year's interception total, which was 7, which was tied for second lowest in the league among starting quarterbacks, all he has to do is throw maybe 20 touchdowns, and this is a playoff team?
Yeah, how do you feel about that, Bronco fans? Am I crazy? Now, he has to play. Don't come back to me and go, oh, he had 6 picks in if he plays 8 games. No, stop. I'm saying if he goes to
games.
The post, 15 games. If Case Keenum throws fewer than 10 interceptions, my prediction is they will be a playoff team. How do you feel about that, Bronco fans? Am I crazy? And I'm not the one who's sitting here drinking orange and blue Kool-Aid. I'm not overly optimistic. I'm in prove-it mode after last year's dumpster fire. But if Case Keenum has fewer than 10 picks, playoff team, your thoughts?
I think you're on to something there, because the amount of interceptions that you throw or don't throw is a legitimate measuring stick in how we should be evaluating quarterbacks. Okay, it seems like we still kind of get bogged down in the age-old way of evaluating quarterbacks based on, you know, arm strength and ability to run and make something out of nothing. I think all you have to do is look at the top 10 or top 12 quarterbacks in the NFL a year ago, and it sends a crystal clear message to me. It's the way that offensive football is being played in the NFL. It's the way it's being coached. It's the way it's being designed. It is being based more on avoiding mistakes than going for big plays.
And no better example, and I know Bronco fans hate hearing this, Alex Smith. The guy doesn't throw interceptions. That's why I think Kansas City is going to have some regression to the mean this year. They deserve all the respect. They're the champ. You got to knock them out. But Alex Smith threw 5 picks last year, if memory serves, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think Patrick Mahomes is going to have fewer than 10 interceptions as an every
right.
week starter?
Right.
I don't. And I'm bullish on Mahomes.
Right.
But in his first year, he's going to have 25 picks, 25 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. No way that happens.
You know, there was a time.
Be one of the greatest rookie seasons of all time.
Think about
if he pulled that off.
We looked at quarterbacks, and I think we always kind of think about the great quarterbacks as, you know, well, we got spoiled with Peyton throwing the 55. But, routinely up around 40 touchdowns, right? 35, 40 touchdowns, right?
Yeah.
You look around the NFL, what do you think the leading touchdown passer was last year?
It was like Brady and Rodgers, right? Around 30-something, low 30s?
Russell Wilson threw the most touchdowns in the NFL with 34.
Yeah.
Wentz had 33. Brady had 32. And that's it. Okay? I mean, there was a time where we routinely saw quarterbacks 30s, 40s, 50s. With touchdown passes. The only guys that threw for more than 30 touchdowns last year were Brady, Wilson, Wentz, and that's it. That's it.
What was Goff's year? What was he like, 28?
27.
28 touchdowns, 7 picks.
But what
that's
we're seeing
the kind
now,
of year that defines excellence now in the NFL.
This is what we're seeing in the NFL. Teams are trading off more touchdown passes for lesser interceptions.
Yes.
That's the new NFL. That's where we're progressing. We're not as interested in the gaudy touchdown numbers. We want low interception totals. And Keenum only threw 7 last year.
And that's where they could rebound. When you see the window, when you see that slight dirt road back to the top for the Broncos, it's there. If he takes care of the ball, they have better field possession. Denver's defense should, in theory, then stop playing behind in every game, start getting more turnovers. The defense would then become a greater strength. Last year, the defense was muted because they weren't getting any takeaways. That's on them. But they were also playing behind every game, 10-0, 13-7. And when other teams had a lead, they negated Von Miller. They negated Chris Harris. This is why the secret sauce of Keenum, protecting the ball, allows the defense to play more aggressively.
Are these cracks in the Patriots Foundation ready to become giant sinkholes? More fresh evidence that it's happening. That's next in 4 Down Territory.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is 4 Down Territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
All right, now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I have.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
You know, what you want from your room is obviously a lead back, but you need 2 or 3 backs to make it through the entire season, so that won't change, you know, as far as that room, you know, that won't change. I mean, you want more than one guy to be a contributor there.
Vance Joseph talking about his running back room. As we look ahead to training camp and the position battles, is running back going to be the most interesting, hotly contested position battle of them all?
That's
Troy
fair.
Rank. That, Troy Rank in for Mark Schlereth.
That's fair because of what it means to the offensive rebound. That player's going to play a lot. I mean, you're not talking about nickel corner or, you know, the return guy. All those have intrigue and punt return. But the reality is that the player that wins that job is going to play a lot, at least initially. And if it's a Royce Freeman, it would be and you know, they're already the youngest running back room in the league. One of those young guys has to step forward, and because of where their offense has been the last few years, I would say yes. That, for me, is the most interesting job up for grabs, the starting running back job. And don't sleep on Royce Freeman starting early in the season because of his ability to break tackles. That I'm anxious to see what that looks like. Booker's had a great offseason, but for me, Royce Freeman is challenging to start, and Phillip Lindsay as a change of pace back. And I say that, and I'm the idiot that thought Jamaal Charles was actually going to be used on screens and in the red zone last year. So
silly you, Troy Rank. Next in four down territory.
Second down. I haven't talked to him. I mean, I didn't even know about it until like last night, everything. So fake news.
Rob Gronkowski shooting down rumors that he's about to be traded. Of course, those rumors were met with another rumor that Tom Brady threatened to retire if Rob Gronkowski was traded. And then last week, where there seemed to be some newfound harmony for the Patriots as everybody was there for their mini camp, they're back to an OTA, which is voluntary this week. And guess who won't be there? Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. You know, at what point does this team, which has seemed impervious to any kind of, distractions or obstacles or adversity over the years, at what point does it just become too much and it just explodes and it brings this thing down?
It's teetering. There's no question. Is Alex Guerrero becoming their Yoko Ono?
Yeah. Oh, yes. He's been that one way for a while now.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fascinating thing, especially with Edelman, and then Guerrero has to issue a statement saying that, hey, it had nothing to do with me. All I do is pitch. We produce clean players, and we do it the right way. Well, if you look up Alex Guerrero's past, he's had issues with facts and integrity in his lengthy past, not with Tom Brady necessarily. But yes, the Patriots are vulnerable. I will use that word. They are vulnerable. And I think what could take them down is just Tom Brady's age, Ron Gronkowski's health, the things we saw take the Broncos down. Peyton Manning started to trend downward.
But who's gonna make them pay for this, I guess, is what I'm saying.
It has to be another team outside of the AFC East. Because
the one
advantage they've had during this run is they treat the AFC East. I mean, it's Gulliver and the Lilliputians. They can basically wade their way through the first 4-6 weeks of the season, knowing they're never going to be challenged.
Troy,
in their division.
It's the most underrated, under-talked about part of any perceived dynasty. You go back and look at that long, long run that the 49ers had under Bill Walsh and George Seifert. Look at the long run that they had, and then look at how much dreck there was in their division year after year after year. Nobody stood up to them, and they just cakewalked their way through the division every single year on their way to yet another 12, 13, 14 win season. Go back and look during these last 16, 17 years at the absolute lack of competition from the AFC East that the Patriots had.
It's been laughable.
It's
but that's
laughable.
Nobody's
ever stood up.
They play the schedule in front of them. But it's like a college team that has 8 wins. And like, you hire Nick Saban to win 1 to 2 games a year. When Urban Meyer was at Florida, he was there to win 1 or 2 games a year. Everyone else on the schedule, they were going to beat. You know, so that's how the Patriots get, but good for them. But that's, age leaves them vulnerable. The Alex Guerrero as Yoko Ono to the Beatles is starting to leave them vulnerable. It's just a lot of tension that if it starts to spiral this year, will this finally be the year they can't fix it? Because they've had issues before early in seasons, and they fix them. Would this be the year there's just too much drama to get it fixed?
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Slot right. Ingram runs a route. Smith got sacked from behind.
Sack fumble.
Khalil took the ball away. Khalil ripped it right out of his arms. What a play by Khalil Mack to save points. He not only sacked him, Tom, he ripped the ball right out of Geno Smith's arms. Raiders!
I was really impressed with that highlight until I realized he took the ball out of Geno Smith's hands, and it became less impressive. Raiders radio. So, slated to make about $14 million this year under the fifth-year option of his rookie contract, Khalil Mack wants more. He wants Vaughn money. He wants Aaron Donald money, whatever that money's going to be. He wants Fletcher Cox money. And that is why he's not expected to attend Raiders minicamp. The Raiders aren't beholden to pay him. What does John Gruden do in his first year back with his franchise player? Does he take the hard line and make him play under the fifth-year option? Or does he give him a new deal?
You absolutely give him a new deal. I mean, they have put a roster together. I've said it's the Centrum silver and black. I mean, your best player is your young player in his prime. You've gathered all these older players around him. They're going to maybe sign Frosty Rucker. I mean, it's like he's putting together a team from Madden from 1998. You've got to sign Khalil Mack. As I said with Von Miller, he's your guy. Now, again, they've invested in Carr, so it makes it more difficult because they have big money in Derek Carr. But you cannot, as a Raiders, moving to Vegas, your franchise anchors, the face of the franchise between Carr. Mack is their Carr defensively. You find out a way to make that
really?
Work.
Aren't you almost a full 2 years away from your full day of reckoning with Khalil Mack? Make him play out the fifth year?
No.
Slap a franchise tag on him the year after that?
I just don't understand when a guy does everything you ask, why do you have to take it to the number on him? Unless we don't know that, he's a bad guy, he's late to meetings, he's undermining guys. I mean, if he's everything you ask, he's an all-pro, he's been defensive player of the year, what else do you want to see?
Guys get hurt.
Not defensive guys, typically. Not as much as offensive guys.
Vaughn wrecked a knee.
He did. I like to see guys get paid, especially guys who put it out on the field, put a resume together that suggests that, hey, yeah, you are the exception. As I said with Von Miller, he's an aberration. You don't just start opening up contract negotiations, throwing money around to everyone, but Von Miller is going to be a Hall of Famer.
I know that John Gruden has come back sort of with the idea he's going to be a bit of a, a hard case with everything. I'm here to bring back the silver and black, and it's not going to be easy.
It's like Back to the Future. It's weird.
I'm not going to make it easy on you, but there does have to be a move that is felt by everybody as a goodwill move. And you want to send a breath of fresh air through that entire building, extend Khalil Mack.
Because
the players will take a look at that and go, okay, all right, that energizes me.
I know with the Broncos, when they were winning a lot of those games, when I came back on the beat in 14, it was important they took care of guys in-house. And even though there was a discount in some of those deals, but Chris Harris, mm-hmm. Derek Wolfe, Brandon Marshall, you can't always use your money on free agency.
Next in 4-down territory.
Fourth down.
Flying on a straight drop on first down. Mack going to throw. Jones is there. It's caught. Julio stays in. Hit the pylon. Touchdown, Atlanta.
Falcons radio. All right. Rinse and repeat. Julio Jones also holding out. He wants a new deal. Now, is it one thing to do the right thing when you're talking about a defensive player like Khalil Mack? What about when you're talking about a receiver?
Yeah, I'm less...
Even as one that's been as, productive as Julio Jones has been.
Well, again, my understanding, if memory serves, he just had his deal. He's wanting to renegotiate, 2 years into a new deal? That's an issue for me. Has he outperformed it enough to deserve a renegotiation that quickly? That's an argument that I would say the team has a chance, has a compelling argument against him. Secondly, what team has ever won, the Super Bowl with top receivers? I'm not saying, they're icing on the cake. No, they matter. But how many teams have won a Super Bowl based on their receivers in recent memory? They don't. They don't. They either win on their quarterback, and he needs some receivers, but they're not winning because of an elite receiver. So now the Falcons can say they should have against the Patriots, but they didn't. And in the case of Jones, he got big money a couple years ago. And I'm sure part of it is, hey, you just paid Matt Ryan this historic figure. Are you kidding me? Matt Ryan's just kind of a little above average without me. I get it, but you just got your deal done a couple years ago. So that one could get a little greasy. Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald, if they don't get done, shame on those teams. Jones, I could see that. I can see the Falcons side on that much more than I can see the Rams side or Raiders side against their star defensive players.
That'll do it for 4-down territory, a tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Well, Troy and I, we've cracked the code. We've cracked the quarterback code, and we're going to tell you what it is. Coming up next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Troy Ranker, Denver 7 Bronco and Rocky Insider, sitting in for Mark, who's off today. So I think we cracked the code. You know, when we talk about these quarterbacks in the NFL and we build up these quarterbacks, we talk about franchise quarterbacks, and you got to go draft a quarterback at number five because this quarterback will do this and do that and represent this and represent that. I think you need to take a closer, deeper look and see how the NFL is changing right before our eyes. It's a league in which quarterbacks are being asked to do less. Offenses are being designed with the idea of not taking risk, but minimizing risk and playing more conservatively. Over the last 4 years, these are the number of quarterbacks in the NFL that have thrown more than 30 touchdowns in a season. 30. I'm not talking 40. I'm about 30 touchdowns spread out over 16 games. 2014, we had 9. 2015, we had 11. 2016, we had 5. And 2017, we had 3. And as we've seen the amount of touchdown passes thrown by quarterbacks go down, guess what also has gone down with them? The amount of interceptions thrown by quarterbacks. I mean, it was routine back in the day, the idea that, hey, look, quarterbacks are going to take chances. And they're going to throw a lot of touchdowns, but they're also going to throw their fair share of picks. Now, the quarterback that led the NFL in most interceptions thrown was Ben Roethlisberger with 14, Troy. Everybody else was in 10, 11, 9, 8. Alex Smith threw, what, 5? Case Keenum threw 7? It's the way the quarterbacks are being used these days. And so, you know, when you talk about what Case Keenum can do this year, don't talk about, well, he needs to throw 30 touchdowns. No, I think the key to Case Keenum is go out and take care of the football again. If Case Keenum is throwing 9 or 10 interceptions this year, I think this is going to be a pretty good year for the Broncos.
Yeah, I threw the question out there and made the statement, and I'll stand by it. If he plays 15, 16 games, and if Case Keenum plays 15 to 16 games, have fewer than 10 picks, the Broncos will be a playoff team. One guy, Mile High Guy on my Twitter says, if it's under 10, they'll be a top AFC team. They'll be a top seed in the AFC. I don't believe that, but I do believe they'll be a playoff team.
Well,
but means it's a great year by your quarterback.
Follow that out, though. Follow that out. Let's say Case Keenum, over the course of 16 games, is throwing single-digit interceptions. Think about what's happening there. He's being allowed to make high percentage throws. What does that mean? It means you've created an offense that has balance, that's keeping defenses on their heels a bit, and it's allowing your quarterback to make high percentage throws. It's also meaning that your offensive line is much improved because he's not running for his life. He's not throwing under duress. It means you're probably facing more manageable third downs, which means, again, you're doing more on the early downs. So if you're doing all of that, Troy, plus you've still got a pretty good defense at your disposal. I think yes. If over the course of 15, 16 games, Case Keenum is throwing single-digit interceptions, it's the playoff team. Yeah, I'll go there. What's the guy's name?
Mile High Guy.
I agree with
Cameron Barlow.
I agree with Cameron and Mile High Guy. That's the magic number. It's not how many touchdowns he throws. It's how many interceptions he doesn't throw.
It's funny because when they went out and traded for Mark Sanchez, the narrative at Broncos headquarters was like, if he can just be mediocre with their defense, they were going to be fine. They'll be a playoff team. Obviously, Mark got beaten out by Trevor Siemian. And Siemian that year, this even further cements and enhances our argument that we've created in this solution. Think back 2 years ago, Trevor Siemian, what were his numbers? 18 touchdowns, 10 picks. What were they? 9-7, and they should have won at Tennessee. Benny Fowler tried to catch a pass with his face mask in the end zone. They should have been a playoff team that year. So, Mike, that proves my point. Trevor Siemian had 18 touchdowns and 10 picks. Probably should have had more. He had some lucky break. Regardless, the final number was 10 picks. And what were they? 9-7.
Mm-hmm.
If Keenum is under 10, then I believe they have a chance to beat that. You know, that's that 9-7, 10-6 happy spot. And that's the, you know, again, I know Bronco fans can't stand this, but that's the formula they've used in Kansas City with Alex Smith. He doesn't turn the ball over.
But it's not just Alex Smith.
Yeah, but that's...
He's the best at it.
He's the best, and he's symbolic of it. And you know who another guy is, and I'm not saying... Why did the Bills finally get back to the playoffs? Tyrod Taylor never turns the ball over, ever. Now, he doesn't make any plays either. Smith last year made plays downfield. And if you are going to be dynamic, your quarterback eventually has to make a couple of plays where, you know, of more than 20 yards. Tyrod Taylor, what was he last year? Three picks, four picks? He never turns the ball over, ever.
Four
picks. That's part of the reason the Bills made the playoffs.
He only threw 14 touchdowns.
Right.
But again,
he made no plays, really, but he never turned the ball over, and they ran with Shady McCoy. They put Peterman in. He threw like 19 picks in one half, and they realized, wait, if we're going to get back to the playoffs, run the football, don't turn it over. And against the Broncos, you know, Tyrod Taylor, for me, played the best game of his career. But that is the formula for the new NFL. It's not fantasy football anymore. The days, as Mike has indicated, of throwing 30 to 40 touchdowns, 18 picks, slinging it around the yard, it sounds sexy. It doesn't exist in the modern NFL.
Well, they're still looking for their 2-to-1, 3-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio, but it's changed now. Instead of
shrunk.
Instead of 35 touchdowns and 18 picks,
it's truncated.
Now it's 24 touchdowns and 11 picks.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. So when you look at what the Broncos, and if you start to hear these numbers, and you don't want to get too many numbers thrown at you, but they make sense, and they do indicate a pattern that's going on around the NFL. Then you look at what the Broncos have done over the last 3 years, and you realize how bad their quarterback play has been. Going back to the final days of Peyton Manning and Brock Osweiler, over the last 3 years, Bronco quarterbacks have thrown 58 touchdowns to 47 picks.
Almost a 1-to-1 ratio.
I mean, that's awful.
And they're doing it at a time that they're going against the grain of the trend of the NFL. And that's what makes these stats so illuminating. You hear that number, 58, 47, but they're doing it when everyone else's picks are going down substantially.
Yeah, they're averaging 16 a year.
Right. And most teams that are winning are, you know, trying to keep it below double figures. So it is fascinating. But all we say all this, the only way Keenum gets to that number of 22 and 9, let's say, or 24 and 9, is if they run the football. In Minnesota last year, they were top 5 in rushing yards per game, even after Cook got hurt, top 5 in rushing yards per game and attempts per game. The key to all this, for me, is the ability for them to run the football when they want to, not when they have to. If they do that, Case Keenum will be solid terrific. If they can't run the football and they're averaging 3.4 yards per carry and Keenum's at 3rd and 7, you're going to be disappointed with Keenum. But if you get him in 3rd and 3s, 3rd and 4s, where he can move around a little bit, he's more mobile than people realize, he's going to make plays.
Case Keenum last year threw 67% completion, 3,500 yards, 22 touchdowns, and 7 picks. You know what? If he can match those numbers, even if it's only 20 touchdowns, but he's throwing 7, 8, 9 picks, you're right. That's the formula. That's not only the formula here, that's the formula around the NFL. I mean, think about it. The only 3 quarterbacks who threw more than 30 touchdowns last year were Carson Wentz, Tom Brady, and Russell Wilson. That's it. Nobody threw 40. Nobody even got to 35. Wilson was the highest with 34. And I would argue that there was no person in the NFL who carried more of a burden to generate all of his team's offense than Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And he still only threw 34.
What was his pick total?
11.
11. Yeah, he had a remarkable year, especially because he was running around for his life. Most quarterbacks run around for their life, throw a lot of picks. He did not. But so it goes back to balance. And like we feel like we were kind of half, you know, smirking and winking that we figured it all out. We haven't in that way. But there is a statistical trend here. And that Mike and I both love baseball. And you can find trends in baseball and you can maximize things that don't always – you find value in undervalued assets like Moneyball was finding value in guys who walked. We can't pay for home runs. Let's go get guys to get on base. And in football, the new value – is quarterbacks who protect the ball. Game manager is such a negative connotation.
It is. It's always been.
It's every quarterback now in the league.
Exactly right.
Even the great quarterbacks don't throw the ball around anymore. So game manager shouldn't be a derisive term anymore. You not only need it, you have to have it to win in the NFL. So if Keenum can manage the game, they're going to win. They're going to be in the hunt. But to do that, what the difference is with Aaron Rodgers or a Brady or a Russell Wilson, they can do it independent of everything else. And Ben Roethlisberger. But for Keenum to do it, they have to have some semblance of balance. Because if you're going to tell Keenum, hey, don't throw more than 10 picks, but throw 35 times a game, no chance. No chance he stays under that number of 10 if he's averaging, you know, like 29 to 35 passes a game. No chance.
When you talk about trends that are developing in a sport, and we're pointing out these numbers, do you think that it is just sort of the way the numbers have fallen?
No.
Or it is by design?
It's the coaches have become more controlling in this. Everything is kind of overcoached to the point of, you know, paralysis by analysis. You just don't see the old draw it up in the dirt anymore. That doesn't really exist in the modern NFL. It's coached to the point where it's clinical in the way they do it. So the answer, it feels like to me, is be creative. But it's this line I've used like for the last 3 years. You have to find a way to take chances while taking care of the ball.
Uh-huh.
The best teams still take some chances downfield, i.e. Alex Smith last year, while taking care of the ball. Bad teams take chances like the Browns and Broncos, and they just basically take care of nothing because they throw picks.
I'm not saying that the role of the quarterback, the importance of the quarterback has changed, but in terms of how we define a franchise quarterback, is it changing right now? And I guess what I'm saying is
that's a great point because does it have to be Aaron Rodgers? We think you're right because we think franchise quarterback like in the conversation of a Hall of Famer,
mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers, Roethlisberger, Brady, Brees, Wilson. When really now a franchise quarterback can be Alex Smith.
Right.
In the modern NFL, the way the offenses have run, he is a franchise quarterback at 25 touchdowns, 5 picks. He's not a Hall of Famer. He's not an all-time great, but in the current window of the NFL, he is a terrific player based on how the offensive trends. And that's why I say the Chiefs are going to regress a little bit because there's no way for me Patrick Mahomes finishes with under 10
picks. All right, so does that support even more the idea of the Broncos not taking a quarterback at 5? Because the idea
young quarterback's going to throw picks? Is that your premise?
Yeah, and the idea that if the idea was you take a quarterback at number 5 because you have to have special at the position and you gamble on special
right
upside, when you take upside, a quarterback upside. At 5. What I'm pointing out here is that when we look at these numbers and you crunch these numbers, is it so important that you find special anymore as much as it is you find smart?
Right.
You find under control, you find discipline, you find detail-oriented, that you don't need 6'5", rocket for an arm. You need smart.
Timing, detailed, accurate.
Is it changing?
It is changing. Now, we'll see in 5 years if it starts to revert back to the other way and you're like, oh, we need a quarterback to throw 50 yards down the field and run around and make plays. But the current NFL doesn't demand that. It does not demand that. But and I will say this in fairness to Keenum, part of the onus is on Bill Musgrave and the coaching staff. Put him in position to succeed. Trust that you're going to be able to run the ball. You can't abandon the run. Try it 3 times. You get no yards the first drive, and let's sling it around the yard. If they do that, they will lose in the modern NFL.
Right.
It's been proven the Broncos have proven it as well as any team outside of the Browns, that if you throw the ball around, go 3 wide, have failed protection, faulty pass protection setup, you're going to lose.
And even then, if we're right about this, and you know we've got a bunch of we've got a bunch of numbers to suggest that maybe we're not, but if we're right about that, it makes Mike McCoy's handling of that offense even more irresponsible and selfish.
Just reckless. It was reckless. It got reckless
because he knew. He knew. I mean, he's not that dumb.
He's a bright guy. The personnel didn't match.
He knows how this league is trending right now at the quarterback position, and he chose with the most ill-equipped of quarterback situations to try to buck that trend.
But he did it with Philip Rivers the year before, who led the NFL in picks. But I would suggest Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer.
Rivers might be the last
kind of guy.
Kind of gunslinger out there, right.
Yeah. It's like he got lulled into this. Well, Rivers did it, but Rivers is a Hall of Famer. Last I checked, Broncos didn't have any Hall of Famers on their roster last year.